Fairfax News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
29 days to go until polling places open across the country, and red alert, we are within 1 month until Election Day. On today's show, we will be examining two very complicated issues that could both mean the difference in winning or losing for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris: legal maneuvering and Arab American voters. But first this.
Both former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are paying tribute to the victims of the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel on this first anniversary of the Hamas sneak attack. Trump is holding an event at his Mar-a-Lago resort tonight to mark the October 7th anniversary. In an interview over the weekend, the former president declared that he should get 100% of the vote, the Jewish vote. No person has ever been better to the Jewish people, he said. Probably no person, period, to the Jewish people and Israel. Harris and President Biden held separate commemorations dedicated to the victims and survivors of October 7th.
After enduring weeks of criticism that she wasn't doing enough one-on-one interviews, Kamala Harris will be spending a lot of time in front of microphones over the next couple of days. The VP recorded a long conversation with Alex Cooper, host of the very popular Call Her Daddy podcast. She'll appear on The View, Howard Stern's SiriusXM radio show, and Stephen Colbert's The Late Show. Now, perhaps the biggest one of all, Harris will be on 60 Minutes tonight. Donald Trump turned down a similar offer to be on that show.
The former president, Donald Trump, returned to the scene of his attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania, over the weekend to hold a defiant rally, which included a guest appearance by billionaire Elon Musk. They spoke in front of what will likely be one of Trump's largest rally crowds during this campaign. While other speakers at the Butler rally complained that the overheated rhetoric was leading to violence, Trump himself made a baseless suggestion that the attempt on his life could have been the work of his political opponents.
The United States Supreme Court has returned to work for its fall session today, and it's, well, kind of fitting because the nine justices could very well find themselves extremely busy about a month from now. Even before the first vote has been cast, there are armies of lawyers on both sides of the political divide gearing up for what could be the most litigated presidential election in American history. Adav Noti is executive director of the Campaign Legal Center. Before that, he served for over 10 years in the general counsel's office of the Federal Election Commission. Adav, the Republicans and the Democrats, true, but more so the Republicans, they have been hiring lawyers like there's no tomorrow, even though the election is not tomorrow, but they're nonetheless hiring them all over the country, poised for expected litigation. Do you think that that's, first of all, a wise thing to do? And do you really think there is going to be that much litigation?
Well, for better or for worse, we're in an era where there is going to be litigation around elections, certainly litigation before the election, and potentially litigation after it. So there's nothing inherently improper about preparing for that. I think the question is more about sort of the content of the litigation. Is it legitimate? Is it intended to make sure that the election is free and fair and secure, or is it frivolous or otherwise intended to disrupt
the election? Yes, but isn't it also scale? I mean, you know, typically in past elections, you kind of wait to see what some of the legal issues are, and then you go out and if necessary, you litigate. But in this case, it seems as if they're going into this expecting a huge legal fight.
Right. Well, I think it's both. There's an expectation of a fight and there's some preparation for that. But it's also some of what we're seeing right now is creating that fight. Right.
Yeah.
It's an effort to create doubt or uncertainty where it might not otherwise exist. And some of the litigation that's already been filed, I would certainly characterize as more on the frivolous side of the spectrum. And not really intended to make sure the rules are clear, but more to create this sort of public doubt and a narrative about elections somehow having problems where they really don't.
And there really has been that drumbeat coming from the former president himself. So if you are a Trump lawyer, what is your strategy here? I mean, are you trying to slow down the vote counting to allow doubt about the results to be inserted once they've been cast? Are you trying to reject a certain segment of ballots? What is the strategy?
I think part of what we're seeing is laying the groundwork for legal action after the election, where if it doesn't go the way that some of these lawyers want it to go, that they will then, citing the actions that they filed before the election, say, essentially, see, we told you there were problems, and now those have manifested in the vote count. I mean, just to be clear, that's a very weak claim. It's a just slightly more sophisticated version of what a bunch of folks tried to do in 2020 to overturn the election results, and that failed spectacularly all across the country. So it's not, I don't think, going to be successful, but that appears to be the strategy.
Well, in essence, what they're doing, especially the Republicans, right, is they're creating a situation that will create the very confusion at the polls that they claim exists but doesn't.
Yeah, it could cause that. These sorts of lawsuits could cause confusion, although I think that's somewhat unlikely, because the litigation that's been filed so far is like I said, pretty close to frivolous. And it's not like courts around the country are actually stepping in and changing rules or taking these actions that the lawyers are asking them to. So it's not actually creating that confusion.
But it has the potential. But what's an example? Give us an example of a frivolous lawsuit.
Sure. So a few suits have been filed in states around the country, three or four or five states, seeking to basically throw a bunch of people off the voting rolls. That sort of action, I mean, first of all, there's not really a cause of action to require states to throw voters off the rolls. But even if there were, there is an explicit federal law that prohibits that sort of voter roll purging within the couple months before an election. So filing those suits this close to the election is genuinely frivolous, because under federal law, a state couldn't do what these suits are seeking, even if the content of the suits had some merit, which they don't.
We're speaking with Adav Noti, executive director of the Campaign Legal Center. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Georgia and the changes there with regard to these three new rules. I wonder which one concerns you more and why.
Yeah, there has been a lot of attention to the rule changes in Georgia, and I think part of that is for good reason, because it's really unfortunate that we have a state election board that's sort of changing procedures at the last minute over the objection of both county and statewide election officials. In the end, I think the effect of these rule changes is likely to be pretty muted or maybe even non-existent. Ultimately, what they're intended to do is sort of lay the groundwork for election officials at the local level or the county level to say, gosh, I don't know what's happening with the election. I have some vague sense of mistrust, so I'm not going to do my job and certify my own election results.
How good are you at looking into the future, Adav?
Do you have your crystal ball?
Well, a lot of what preparing for this election has been looking
into the future.
Okay. Yeah, and so, trying to anticipate. Yeah.
All right, so here's my question. Is this going to be a repeat of Bush-Gore? Is this going to end up being a presidential election decided by the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, there are a few ways in which the legal landscape has changed that makes that, I think, more likely than it would have been in prior elections. I mean, but
more likely, you're saying?
More likely. However, all of that only comes into play if the election is extremely close, right? If the election is not very close, then it will just be
decided. Well, of course, the polls are showing. Right. So what are some of the ways it's changed that it is more likely?
Right. So I think the main change that we've seen that makes Supreme Court action a little more likely is that, in 2020, a lot of the efforts to overturn the election focused on trying to get these various folks in the system to overturn the results. So there were efforts by, the Trump campaign to get state legislatures to overturn the results in their state, or to get governors to do it, ultimately to try to get Congress to do that on January 6, 2021. And there have been changes to the legal framework around presidential elections since 2020, intentionally designed by bipartisan members of Congress to make all of that essentially impossible. So state legislatures have no role to play in that post-election period anymore. governors have very little role to play, and Congress's role has been pretty seriously cut back. So all of those other actors are kind of out of the picture for the most part when it comes to figuring out any post-election disputes. And where those disputes are going to go and where they probably should go is the courts. Now, that doesn't mean the Supreme Court necessarily, because they'll probably start in state court, not federal court. And hopefully the state courts will be able to resolve disputes, which they have a very good track record of doing. But it does increase the chances that ultimately, if there's a genuine non-frivolous dispute, it could end up with the Supreme Court.
All right. Adav Noti is executive director of the Campaign Legal Center. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Adav. Arab American voters used to be a safe bet to vote for Democrats in elections, but the last year of violence and tension in the Middle East could dramatically alter that history. More on that when Countdown 2024 returns.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thank you for sticking with us. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. The October 7th Hamas attack on Israel settlements last year that led to at least 1,200 people being killed not only tipped the Middle East into a year-long state of violent chaos, it has also had a profound effect on the American presidential election. Israel's aggressive war in Gaza that followed the October 7th attack has left tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians dead and sparked widespread demonstrations on U.S. college campuses. It has also left a key voting demographic feeling alienated and disillusioned.
Since the Arab American Institute began polling Arab American voters, the group had been reliable supporters of the Democratic Party. But this last year has dramatically changed that equation. James Zogby is founder and president of the Arab American Institute and joins us now on Countdown 2024. James, is it possible that a sufficient number of Arab Americans are so angry at the Biden and therefore the Harris administration that they'll sit this election out?
There's a real concern that might happen. I remember early on when I would say to the Biden campaign, you got to do something. You need to speak with people in the community. There had been no meetings with Arab Americans at all. And they'd say, yeah, but you know, when it's November, and it's a binary choice, they'll all come home. And I said, no, they won't. Mm. In November, when it's a binary choice, they very well may just not vote at all. And that is what we're seeing in the polling. The enthusiasm level among those who are Democrats is very low. It's an even split between Harris and Biden, which is significant in that back in the last poll we did with Biden in the presidential slot, it was down to 17%. Against about 35 for Trump. And so her numbers have gone up now to 41%, but it's still underperforming. And about 40% of those who are saying they're voting for her are saying they're unenthusiastic about voting at all. And so they may not show up.
We're less than a month away from this election. I mean, can Harris actually make up ground with those voters? What would it take for her to do that?
Of course she can. We've asked multiple questions of that sort, if she were to do this, if she were to do that, if she were to demand a ceasefire, if she were just now to speak out about Lebanon and just say, stop the damn bombing. I mean, kind of what, I hate to say this because I'm a Democrat and I've always been a Democrat, but if they were to take a lesson from Ronald Reagan in 1982 and just be forceful and say, stop, it would send a message. They've had so many opportunities to simply have allowed a Palestinian American to speak at the Democratic Convention. Mm-hmm. If that had happened, her numbers would go from 41 to almost 60%. They want a gesture. They want to feel like they're being considered, and they're not feeling that way right now. And so there's a sense of not there's anger, yes, on the part of some, but on others there's a sense of betrayal and just being left out, and they just don't feel it matters to them right now.
Let me drill down for a bit, James, into those Arab American voters who you think may sit it out because of their lack of enthusiasm for Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party. But at the same token, they're not converts to Donald Trump. But do they not realize that if this is as close a race as the polls indicate it is likely to be, if they do sit it out, it could very well throw it to Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm. Look, that's the speech I give all over the country. I say, you tell me it doesn't make a difference. Go to talk to fathers and Haitian fathers in Springfield, Ohio, and ask them if it makes a difference. We're afraid to send their kids to school or try to remember what it was like in 2016 and the fear that you had and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I make the case, but understand that the pain of the last year has been so great. Some are just actually, and I find this, you know, something I can't be supportive of, but they're just wanting to punish the Democratic Party. They're so upset. There is an actual genocide unfolding in Gaza, and now this widespread bombing of Lebanon. People have this feeling that no one quite understands them or cares about them. And so, yeah, they figure that Donald Trump is a bad guy. He's going to do bad things in the country. He's going to hurt other people. But in a sense, they feel there's no place for me in this. And so they're just sitting it out. It bothers me. I've spent 50 years of my life getting people into the political process, fighting for the rights of Arabs and Arab Americans and in the process. But I'm finding that 1 year of this has taken such a toll, which is why even the littlest gesture, a meaningful gesture from the Harris campaign would make a difference, but they have not been willing to be forthcoming with that gesture.
Hold that thought. James Zogby at the Arab American Institute remains with us to finish off this edition of Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
We're finishing up our conversation about Arab American voters with James Zogby, founder and president of the Arab American Institute.
James, before we took the break, you were in the middle of a thought, and I'm wondering if you can just complete it because it was pretty interesting.
That the pain is so great. A year of genocide, now the devastation of Lebanon. People are feeling this doesn't make a difference for me. And even though they know what happened in 2016, they understand the danger Donald Trump presents. There's a sense that they want to either punish Democrats or they are simply feeling, you know, for an issue they care deeply about in their hearts, where their families are, where their loved ones and their homes and communities are. That is what's happening there. And the Democrats are turning a blind eye to it. One thing I told the campaign during the uncommitted movement was that don't just look at the 100,000 votes in Michigan who turned out to vote uncommitted. There's a whole lot more people who just didn't vote at all in that primary because they didn't feel they had a stake in it. Your job in the campaign is to make them feel they had a stake. I remember St. Augustine had a great quote where he said, in the conflict between the church and the world, it's not the world that has to come to church. It's the church that has to go to the world. If you want their votes, you have to earn their votes. And so far, my party hasn't done what it needs to do to earn those votes.
You know, there are some Arab Americans who are rallying behind Harris Walz. There's the group Arab Americans for Harris Walz. Do you see that group being able to persuade some of these others to join them?
Not if they don't get something to go to the community with and say, this is why I need you to do it. Look, frankly, people in the community are feeling betrayed, hurt, and to some extent apathetic about the election.
James Zogby, founder and president of the Arab American Institute. Thank you. On Tuesday's Countdown 2024, labor unions have been strong supporters of Democratic candidates almost since their founding over a century ago. But then along came Donald Trump, who changed all of that. The organized labor wild card. That's tomorrow. And don't forget, KNX News will be hosting a debate with the two candidates vying to be the next district attorney of Los Angeles County. Live tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Nathan Hochman and George Gascon will clash in the KNX studio. That's tomorrow at 5. And remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up with a replay at 8 and on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Podcast, just search Countdown 2024. Mueller and follow the show.